The following program is brought to you in living color.
To Homeland! Stop! In our country we have great tradition. Change glasses.
Change glasses.
To Homeland!
To Homeland.
Stop!
In our country, we have a custom. We always change glasses, too.
Now, everybody drink.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
People like this are a menace to decent society.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine but were afraid to ask. That's what we're here for. We are your media resource for everything about the grape. And I am coming to you off a nice relaxing vacation in the great state of California, where I actually went out to help some of my good friends with harvest. Now, I have talked to everybody about the idea of going ahead and experiencing a harvest just once, but anytime we talk about going to the West Coast and planning for these trips, I always advise you plan ahead, get your airfare, find places to stay, because around harvest it gets kind of tight. Well, this year proved to be a very interesting year because I followed all of my own advice. I had all my places to stay, I had my airfare, I had my car lined up. Everything was ready to go. I had talked to my winemaker buddies, and we were ready to go out there and stomp on some grapes. The only problem is there were no grapes to stomp on. Yes, harvest is running extraordinarily late out in California, and even though I had planned well to go out and get my hands dirty, no such luck. So since I didn't get to work for my wages, I just drank my way happily through California, and I'm now relaxed and convivial and here even to accommodate Kent today.
Wow. You mean I might catch a break today? That's nice.
Might being the operative word.
Yes.
I still wanted to stomp on something, so since I didn't get to stomp on grapes, you might have to take the role of that. But yes, I am relaxed and happy in that always anytime I get in this mood, it leads me to strange tangents. And certainly today's show has a strange tangent to it. We were out in California. We're kind of bouncing around a little bit. And I love antique stores, and I love pawn shops, and I love places like that where you can go in and perhaps get a good deal or a good buy. Well, we had stopped in a pawn shop, and I won't tell you where. It was in California. It was in Northern California. And I walked in, and there was Screaming Eagle behind the counter. There was Harlan. There was some Grace Family. These are all very expensive, what they're considered cult wines in these pawn shops. Now, something came to mind. It was interesting. They're displayed on the back counter. They were sitting straight up. They weren't stored well. But, of course, you know me. I had to talk to the pawn guy. And he's like, oh, yeah, we're holding them. We had to give the collector some money on it. So I decided that I knew we had done a show, about a year ago, maybe 18 months ago, about how all the French were pawning off their wine. So I invited a very special guest to join us today, and I've had a lot of fun with this, and for those of you who have learned to understand my Southern accent, hopefully this will come across like it should. We have Rick Harrison. He is the son, the big guy, on History Channel's show Pawn Stars. And that's pawn, P-A-W-N.
Please, yes.
I've had a lot of fun with people doing double takes at me, especially knowing my countenance and my demeanor when they think I say the other things. But yes, Rick Harrison from the Pawn Stars is going to join us today, and we're going to put him on the spot and talk about people pawning wine. Now, for those of you who have not seen the show, and I'm shocked, I've talked to some of my friends, and they have no idea what I'm talking about. Once again, they take it off totally down the wrong road when I say Pawn Stars. This is an outstanding show. It is based on a pawn shop in Las Vegas. And I guess you could say it is a reality show, but they bring such unique items into this pawn shop. And that's what brings us to the head today of having Rick on the show. A bottle of 1921 Dom Perignon was brought in on a recent show into their store. And it goes into analyzing the Dom and talking about what it was worth. So that is why we're investigating that today. So I'm sure it will prove to be very, very entertaining.
1921?
Wow. To edify people, I'm sure we'll get into this later in the show. But 1921 was the first vintage-dated Dom that was ever released. It wasn't released till 1936. So if you could get your hands on a bottle of 1921 Dom that was kept and cellared correctly, it's fascinating what it's worth. There are people that would pay up to $100,000 for this bottle of wine. So that's why when you start talking about collecting wine and looking at the value of wine, it's always fun to see the different reactions and how people gauge the value of what they think they have.
If you had the money in your pocket today, would you be among those people? Would you pay for that?
Oh, no. I thought we've gone over the whole fact, the idea of my cellar is a dairy crate.
Okay. Okay.
Yes, no. I'm sorry. Hey, Kent, as I'm sitting here, I'm not doing this for the joy of my life. I do get paid, contrary to popular belief, to do the show. I know most people think we ought to pay you to listen to the show. However, no, I can't imagine paying $100,000. But if you want to think about this, when you think of the restaurants in Vegas, we all heard of that infamous lunch that was done by the Barney's people about 2 years ago, where the wine bill alone was 36,000 euros.
Oh, yeah.
There are people who can go and afford and have this luxury, but there is a rarity factor. And I think that's something that lends itself, whether it's the wine business, whether it's the pawn business, the more rare and the more scarce something is, what happens? Come on, Ken.
Value goes up.
Value goes up.
Of course.
Basic common sense economics.
I know. Is there any chance, though, it would be drinkable?
Absolutely.
If it's stored correctly.
If it was stored correctly, it would be drinkable. It's kind of like when we had the gentleman who wrote Billionaire's Vinegar on the show, and we're talking about the Thomas Jefferson bottle from, 1876? Once again, if it had been stored correctly, is it drinkable? That definition of drinkable certainly carries different meanings for a lot of people, but is it going to change? Yes. Would I find it palatable? Probably not. Yeah. Is it consumable? Yes. Will it kill you? No. So there's
but
just a fine
the cork
line.
And everything would still be okay. And in other words, even if it were stored correctly, the cork would still have to be, it seems to me after all those years, it would be a dried piece of nothing.
Well, it goes back and we'll give you a small lecture. Once
give
again,
you
for, our listeners, if Kent actually listened to the show occasionally, he would know what proper cellaring techniques can do for a cork. If you take a bottle of champagne, you put it in the dark, you leave it there quietly, kind of like we'd like to do from Kent from time to time.
Yeah, exactly.
And put it on its side, then liquid will be touching the cork. And as long as the liquid inside the bottle continues to touch the cork stays live. It doesn't dry up. It doesn't shrivel up because it has the moisture from the wine. Now, even then, you can have problems with the ullage, the top of the wine, how much wine actually disappears out of the bottle. Of course, the cork could still go bad. It could still rot. But yes, there is a really good chance that it could still be good.
Okay.
So it just varies from person to person. That's like they're talking about, I think they've recently found it was on the Lusitania. Was the Lusitania the liner that was sunk by the German U-boats?
Yes, it was. It started World War I, yes.
Exactly. In the wreckage of the Lusitania, they have found some wine. And they're going down there with cameras and looking at it and debating on whether or not it's still good and whether or not it can be pulled up. And if they do manage to pull it up and they sell it, it may go down as the most expensive bottles of wine ever sold on this planet.
Mm.
So, once again, it ties everything together. Is wine an investment? Absolutely. Do we have the money to invest in it? I don't know about you. I don't have that luxury. I just am lucky to occasionally drink some. But when you put it all together and you look at people trying to get their money out of wine, not necessarily by drinking it, this is where you look at the value of something. And I don't have the bank account. I don't have the luxury to truly appreciate something like that. However, if I get a chance to see it, I'm going to be fascinated by it. Now, since all of us can't necessarily find 1921 Dom Perignon, and if we could, we couldn't afford it, we have to do our weekly wine recommendations of wines that are affordable, that are great, that we consider great values. Now, today, I have a red and a white, and they are two of my personal favorites, and they were people I was involved in when I was out in California, so I am a little biased. And yes, I know you have heard of one of these wines before. Of course, I am talking about Sobraja Family. They have a Sauvignon Blanc from the Schmidt Ranch. Now, this is a single vineyard Sauvignon Blanc, and it is absolutely outstanding. This is the 2008. What's great about it, the property was owned by friends of Sobraja. So he gets to go out there. He gets to carefully pick the grapes and select what he wants. The wine is crisp. It has a great acidity to it. It kind of explodes in your mouth. It has such a nice balance, especially when you're sitting outside in beautiful weather, sunny skies, 70 degrees. It is the perfect accompaniment to any day. So that is your white recommendation this week. Sobraja Family, Schmidt Ranch Sauvignon Blanc, 2009. I think I may have screwed up and said 2008. I was just off in La La Land. But 2009 is out now, and it is absolutely phenomenal. Now, as far as the red, I can't remember if we've ever talked about Hartford Family Wines on the show. If we haven't, we need to track them down. But Hartford Family does 26 different single vineyard wines. Now, of course, we've talked about Nickel & Nickel. We've talked about some other people that focus on different estates. But Hartford Family just does so many great things, almost all of them out of Russian River, Sonoma, Carneris, and that area. And they focus on Pinot Noirs, they focus on Chardonnays. Well, today I'm focusing on the 2007 Hartford Court Pinot Noir from Land's Edge. Now, this is a Sonoma Coast Pinot Noir. Now, a lot of people hear the appellation Sonoma Coast, and you just think of Highway 1 running up. But if you've ever been out to the West Coast and you sit there on Highway 1 and you look down the 150 feet on one side of the cliff to turn around and look up another 250 of the cliff that Highway 1 runs around, you can truly get an idea of Sonoma Coast. It's windy, it's barren, it's cold. And when they can find great little areas to grow these grapes, they can find little hidden countryside nestled in windbreaks. The Pinots that are produced are absolutely outstanding. This is definitely one. This Pinot Noir, it smells of violets, it has cherries, it has cedar. It is definitely worth checking out. So our two wines today, Hartford Court, Land's Edge Pinot Noir, and Sauvage Family, Schmidt Ranch Sauvignon Blanc. We're going to take a small break right here, but when we return, I've got some very interesting news items, and of course, we will have your emails and your phone calls to keep me entertained.
Follow host Laura Lawson on Twitter at Wine Crush Radio. This is the Wine Crush. Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, Gold Garage and Pit Passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? Increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, Gold Garage and Pit Passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUsKids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor. Or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
I'm Laura Lawson, and today we are off and rolling to a very interesting show. Of course, later in the show, we're going to be talking about pawning wine and the value of wine. And all of us do have a grasp that there's value in wine, like we covered in the opener, whether it's the value of the glass, the company, what you're enjoying to drink, whether or not it's what you put in your cellar. But here was a fascinating story. We all think of the finished product having great value, but we don't actually think of the grapes having value. $4,000 of rare wine grapes were stolen off the vine in Washington. The owners of Grand Reeve Vineyard in Red Mountain, Washington, are reeling after an unexpected and mind-boggling crime. Someone over the last week stole $4,000 worth of rare grapes. Now, this is interesting. It's been coined the Great Grape Caper of Red Mountain, and the theft was clearly well-planned and cleverly executed as the thieves made off with a ton of very specific and exotic grapes called Bushvine Mourvèdre. Now, this to me is just fascinating, and it seems to be something that you'd see on a John Cleese-involved movie or something like a Monty Python, because the idea for someone to be able to pull into a vineyard late at night to know exactly where quote-unquote rare grapevines are, to be able to take a flashlight, to go out there, to clip and to pick them. It just sounds like something that screams chaos. But in all fairness, when you have such a competitive environment, Red Mountain, Washington is a very, very well-respected AVA, and it's also an AVA in an area in Washington where people are still trying to figure out what the best grape is to grow where. Obviously, Syrah came on the scene in Washington the last 15 years, so you try and find different things from the Rhone that might do well. Now, this Mourvèdre is, of course, known in the Rhone wine, known in Languedoc, and it's also very intense and very dark. Whoever took the time to go out to the vineyards to put everything together knew exactly what they were doing. Now, since these wines are very, very rare and the grapes are rare, I'm curious what someone's going to do with them. You know, it's not like you can go make wine out of it and say, hey, something called Mourvèdre out of Red Mountain, Washington State.
Yeah.
So how do you...
I don't know. Sounds like an inside job. Somebody trying to do some, you know, crossbreeding or something.
Taken the vines, maybe.
Yeah.
But to
didn't take the vine. You just took the grapes?
He took the grapes. He just went out and harvested all the grapes.
The big dummy.
Yes. What they do say in this article comes from Luxist.com. It goes on to say the stolen grapes are valued at $4,000 for the grapes. The wine they would have made would have been worth over $30,000.
We're not talking about rocket scientists here, are we? Or are we?
I don't know. It's really one of the most bizarre, fascinating things. And that's what I love so much about the wine business, and I love so much about my job, is I'm never bored. You know, whether it was last year, the guy at Romani Conti, he was actually threatening and ransoming the grapevines, to this guy going in the middle of the night, stealing grapes actually before the harvest. But I am looking forward to seeing the follow-up stories on this. I mean, because like I said, two things come to mind. One, you can't exactly go out and make a wine out of this and recoup your losses there. If you wanted to eat these grapes, I don't see you going in and literally stealing a ton of them. Literally, a ton. That's a lot of grapes. And on the flip side of it, there's also the insider angle. Well, what if the grapes were terrible? What if they weren't really stolen? And what if it was just some kind of insurance scam? What if they realized that this is never going to work? I don't like these vines. I don't like these grapes. And we just need to make them disappear.
Oh, no. Looking for a big fat guy with a tummy ache. I'll bet.
And then can you see explaining that to your insurance agent?
Yeah.
Hi, look, they're gone. Okay, sorry. I know I get off on tangents, and I apologize, but that was just too entertaining not to touch on. Well, I do have an email. This email is from Jason, and Jason writes to me from Missoula. I'm not entirely sure where Missoula is, but Jason, thank you for listening. And Jason writes, I go out to California often, and when I'm over there, I like stopping at wineries and buying the different wines in the tasting rooms. However, I know that there are a lot of wineries and winemaking people out there that don't have tasting rooms. Is there a good wine shop? Is there a good place to buy wine out there besides the actual wineries? Well, Jason, actually there is, and I'm glad I kind of saved this question. In the past, we've had people from the Wine Garage and Acme on the show, and of course, wine shops out there have a whole different diversity. If you're going out there just to see something different, if you even want to be fascinated, go to a Safeway grocery store, walk up and down the wine aisle, and you will see labels you've never seen, you can never find in a local Megamart. But if you really want to have an adventure, probably some of the best wine shops I've ever stepped into. I have been out in St. Helena. I've been out in Napa. And you walk into these stores, and the people are so down to earth, and they're so friendly. I'll get in trouble for this, probably because everybody in California is on Quaaludes. They just move so much slower than the East Coast. But nevertheless, you walk into these wine shops, and people are automatically friendly. Can I help you? What are you looking for? There is none of that pretension that sometimes we have here on the East Coast. There's not that pretension you find in some of the big cities, like you should automatically know exactly what you're looking for. So, Jason, when you're out there, I'd look for Acme. I'd look for Garage. Definitely the Garage wines are outstanding. And even Oakville Grocery has some interesting offerings. Dean and DeLuca, too. So there's a lot of places where you can go find unique stuff, but I suggest you find those that are further north. They're more friendly, they're more down to earth, and probably can offer you a little more assistance in what you're looking for. And of course, I have mentioned this in the past, but for those of you who are going out there, I will go ahead. We need to have this guy on the show because he is amazing. The guy who created the wine glove, you can get these at most tasting rooms out there. It's just that little bottle-shaped, flat-looking thing that's actually bubble wrap, and the bottle slides right in it. It's perfect. It's great. I will say that I had 6 bottles of wine in my suitcase in their little bubble wrap, and not a single one broke. Now, granted, I had thrown half my clothes out before I actually put the wine in there, so it didn't really matter one way or the other. But, Jason, hopefully that answers your question. And, of course, we're always open to your questions, your comments, your emails. Please email me at lauralawson@winecrush.com or call us on the wine line, 800-877-4CRUSH1. I apologize. It's terrible. I've been away for entirely too long. The brain cells in California got me. Well, we're going to take a small break right here. When we return, we are going to go down the pawn road and see what we can find out about pawning wine.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactive works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactive Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-727-8614.
Proactive's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective, it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-727-8614. That's 1-800-727-8614.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes, between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a million-year-old beach? between drinking clean water or breathing clean air. Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their roiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
Back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and as promised, right now I have Mr. Rick Harrison. He is the star of History Channel's Pawn Stars. We'll make sure we get that correct with my southern accent, and of course are delighted to have him here on the show today. Rick, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Hey, how's it going?
It is going outstanding. Thank you so much for being part of the show today.
I am
a diehard fan. Ever since Pawn Stars came on the History Channel, I have watched your show. And, of course, doing my own media and being in the wine business, I thought, wow, I wonder if they ever deal with wine. I wonder if that ever crossed their desk or, God forbid, anyone brings a bottle of wine and gives it to Chumley. And then all of a sudden, one day, in walks a bottle of Dom Perignon there on the show. And I thought, that's it. We got to have Rick on the show, and we've got to talk about the Dom. We got to talk about pawning wine and all the fun stuff associated with it.
Okay. I'm here.
All right. So for our listeners, for the few uninitiated who may not know what you are, will you give our listeners a little background on who you are and what the Pawn Stars is?
Pawn Stars is a show on History Channel. It's 10 o'clock Monday nights. It's a show I started like a year and a half ago. And somehow or the other, within that time period, it became the number one show on cable. It's a show about me, my father, and my son. We all run a pawn shop here on Las Vegas Boulevard. And Chumley, my son's best friend since he was 11.
Oh, bless his sweet little heart. Bless his heart. Chumley is comic relief for those of you. But in all fairness, people ask me, they say, Laura, you're actually watching something on the History Channel that's about Pawn. It's a reality show. And I don't know how to answer that question. How do you quantify your show?
It's a show about, it's an odd story. Big corporations bought up every other pawn shop in Vegas, and they don't take really odd stuff, and I do. And next thing you know, I have 50 other pawn shops sending me all this stuff, and I take a lot of neat historical stuff in my store. And I eventually came in contact with History Channel, and next thing you know, I have a television show.
and it is outstanding. For our listeners, you definitely have to catch this show. Well, what brings Rick to me today is, on a recent show, a bottle of 1921 Dom Perignon walked in the show. Now, when you do this on the show, did you know the Dom was walking in? Is this something you anticipated? Or how do you react to something like that?
No, they don't tell me anything. A lot of the times the people will get a hold of the production company and say they want to be on the show, and if it's really cool, they'll schedule it. But they don't tell me anything. I don't
that
know.
Sounds like my job.
So I just I walk out there sometimes, and, you know, God knows what's walking in. Plus, most of the things that are on the show are stuff that actually just walk in the store. Production company doesn't even schedule it.
Oh, very cool. Well, how did you feel about the, number one, are you a wine drinker? Do you know wine?
I know a little bit about wine. I can definitely tell you the difference between a $2 bottle of wine and a $20 bottle of wine.
Well, then you're a step ahead of me. There are days where I can't, that's for damn sure. But past that, what do you see a lot of wine come into your shop, or do you always have to look for an expert? If something walks in, can you differentiate between a Mouton Rothschild and a Kendall Jackson?
You know, I just don't know enough. And one thing I've learned in life, when you think you know everything, that's when you're going to get in real trouble.
My father had a saying that basically you don't know anything till you're over 30, and once you hit 35, you realize you know nothing. So I have hit that never land myself. All right, so you see this bottle of 1921 Dom walk in. What's your first response?
First response is cool. The second response was, this doesn't look good because it doesn't look like it's been stored very well.
Now, sometimes on your show, you're one of the few men that are very near and dear to my heart. If you don't know something, you'll go ask direction. So
yeah,
you have a set group of people that you will call and you will get a specialist in. Did you automatically know your specialist, know who you were going to call to help you out with that, Dom?
Actually, there's a buddy of mine that knows everything there is to know about wine. And he wasn't available, so he sent his buddy in, and we met. And so hopefully I can use him on the show again.
Well, keep your fingers crossed. If not, you can always do a radio call-in, and we'll try and work it out for you. But were you surprised to find out the history and what you found out about the Dom and what it would be worth?
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting. I had I assumed it would be worth something more than, even if it was bad, just the bottle, but apparently not.
Now, in something like that, for our listeners, when the bottle of 21 Dom walked in, of course, we went over that. 21 was the first vintage. 36 was the year it was released. I was with you. I would think that the novelty of actually having a bottle, you would have had collectors or somebody call you and say, what happened to the bottle and can I get it? Did you have anything fall out like that?
And usually I do. Usually I get like hundreds of phone calls. I really didn't receive any phone calls on that I know of.
Well, that is just shocking, because I've told people the story and they're like, oh my God, where's the bottle? I need to have it. Now, that can't be the only wine-oriented thing that's ever walked into your pawn shop. What other wine-oriented things have come in?
Did you see the episode where Chumley made wine?
Oh God, no. I missed that one. You're going to have to enlighten me on that one.
I forget what it's called. I had, it's a large glass bottle, almost the size of a Sparkletts bottle in an iron crate that they would put straw around. It's what they would ferment wine in. You know what I'm talking about?
I do. So it was functioning as a press and a fermenter.
Yeah. It was made probably 1890s or whatever, something like that. I ended up buying that. It's a really neat item. A giant hand-blown glass bottle on it. It's what you would ferment wine in. And Chumley decided to make wine in it one day.
And how did that go for you?
It was the most disgusting stuff I ever tasted in my life.
I got to give you credit. I can't say I ever would have tasted it. Knowing Chumley, I could see it blowing up by the time it got done fermenting.
Yeah, especially when I found out how he made it. He crushed the grapes with his feet.
Oh, God. Okay. Now, see, that alone, for our listeners, do not let that turn you off to actually watching the show Pawn Stars on the History Channel. It'll fascinate you. You'll enjoy it immensely. Now, question for you. You mentioned you have the fermenter in the store. It's something, obviously, you're looking to resell. How do you get people interested in coming in and buying this kind of item, or is it something you're going to sit on for a while? What kind of things do you do to pull these wine-oriented people in?
First off, I have I've been on the strip for 20-some years, and I get over 1,000 people a day in my store.
Wow.
So eventually someone's going to come in, they're going to know what it is, they're going to think it's really neat, and I'll sell it. I have, and a lot of things I have I have a huge Rolodex. I've been in business over 20 years. People who collect, you know, certain things, I have a number for them.
So you have people that you know exactly, hey, if I get this 1921 Dom in, if I get this press in, if I get a fermenter in, I know exactly who's going to want it.
Yes.
Now, have people tried...
When that Dom walked in the door, I knew who to call.
Now, question for you. Do you see other people trying to bring wine into your shop to pawn it?
It's not that often. And the problem is I really haven't spent the time figuring out all the exact laws and how much I'd be able to buy every year. You know how weird the law can get.
Oh, trust me. I have. I am on the East Coast and in the Southeast. We have laws you can't even conceive of down here.
Well, one great thing about Vegas is there's no such thing as last call.
Well, that's always a great thing. Well, Rick, I appreciate you being part of the Crush today. For our listeners, please check out Pawn Stars on the History Channel. You have to see these characters interact to truly appreciate what it is. And, of course, they do occasionally stumble upon an exceptional wine gem. So, Rick, thank you for being part of the Crush, and hopefully I'll be talking to you sometime in the near future.
Thanks for having me.
All right. We're going to take a small break here on the Crush, but when we return, more of your calls, more of your emails, and I'm sure some interesting news items to get us through the day.
For pictures, videos, show recaps, and more, become a fan of Wine Crush Radio Group on Facebook.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch, increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts? American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153.
Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
You've been hearing and seeing good things about Z-Max Micro Lubricant everywhere, and you're curious, what is Z-Max Micro Lubricant? Well, it's the only pure micro lubricant that penetrates into the metal of your engine to clean out deposit buildup, improve gas mileage, and your engine's performance. Go ahead, get a bottle, add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It's easy to do. Get Z-Max at a retail performance partner near you, and you'll experience a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. Z-Max it.
Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, Gold Garage and Pit Passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you realize how impactful your kids involvement in the arts can be. They'll get better grades, make more friends and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
This is the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. We just spoke with Rick Harrison of Pawn Stars of History Channel fame. And, of course, he was touching on the finer points of wine coming into a pawn shop. Now, of course, we don't see that much here in the States because, as it goes back to, we have collectors who are very specific about how they want their wines aged, how they want them kept, how they want them stored. But, of course, we alluded to this in the opening of the show. They were pawning a lot of wine in Paris and in France in the last 18 months. And here is what's fascinating. About 7 months ago, it was the Mercantile Credit. Basically, it was the big bank that was offering people to be able to come in to give them their bottles of wine, and they would give them money instead of taking out loans. Now, granted, they were giving them, 50 cents on the dollar or 50-something on the euro for the wine that came in. But the credit group just did their big auction, and they managed to sell almost every bottle of wine that they had for full market value. So, of course, that brings to mind the question, all these people who pawn their wine, why did they not actually sell it themselves? Why didn't they take it to Sotheby's? Why didn't they take it to one of the big auction houses? And I think if I ever had questions, whether it's looking at Pawn Stars, pawn shops, stuff like that, or when people are talking about taking their wines in, how come they don't actually take them to people who specialize in this? It makes absolutely no sense to me. Well, hopefully you're enjoying today's show, but of course, as always, the show is always about you. And so right now, we are going to take a call off the wine line. And yes, Kent, I do know the number. It's 877-4-CRUSH-1.
All right.
Now, when I was in California, I might have lost a couple of those small little brain cells that tied that phone number together.
We're transposing digits.
I know. I'm sorry. I am verbally dyslexic. Probably comes from the halo around my forehead.
That's
off
it.
These
the
lights.
Special lighting we put to make you look angelic in the studio.
Exactly. So once again, we want your phone calls, 877-4-CRUSH-1. And right now we have one. We have Julie from Tennessee. Julie, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Is there any universal wine that I can serve at dinner that would go with just anything? I don't, not red for this and white for that, but just a general good all around wine I can serve.
Julie, my automatic instantaneous reaction is going to be champagne or sparkling wine. I think we've touched on a question like this in the past, and I am adamant, and I mean this, I'll stand by this, and I got in arguments about this. Champagne to me is the perfect wine. There, it's out there, I've said it, I will declare it. Nothing is better than champagne when it comes to cleaning your palate, blending with food, mixing everything, and of course, toasting to great company. Now, the level of champagne or sparkling wine you buy can, of course, make a difference on that. But ultimately, I think there's nothing that will not go with champagne, whether it's eggs, whether it's almonds, whether it's asparagus. Champagne makes everything better. And of course, by champagne, anything with the bubbles, of course, Domaine Carneros comes to mind out of California. The Brut is absolutely outstanding. Tattinger comes to mind when we're talking about French champagne. But those two can get you all the way through a meal. Now, a lot of people have this connotation that champagne is strictly a special occasion beverage. As hard as I work to try and counteract that, some of you still insist on using champagne only to celebrate. That having been said, you can actually get through an entire meal, if you're talking dinner, with a Pinot Noir. Now, some other people will argue that, saying that Pinot Noirs can be too heavy. But I think a New Zealand Pinot Noir can get you through all the way through the aperitif, all the way through the salad, all the way through the meat. In fact, if you want to look at it in depth, as long as you plan your meal carefully and you actually sit down and look at the different components, you can plan an entire meal around one varietal. We have done this several times with Chardonnay, of course, being the Chardonnay sipping diva. I have found Chardonnays that will go with steak, will go with mushroom, that will go with just about anything. So, Julie, I think to answer your question, yes, there is always a universal wine that will go with anything. But as far as going through a meal and buying and not caring about how you're putting it together, sparkling wine is your only option. If you actually want to take the time to pick that specific wine, whether it's Cabernet, whether it's Pinot, whether it's Chardonnay, yes, you can make it work all the way through.
I remember somebody answering or asked a similar question on this show, and you said something to the effect of, the perfect wine is port. You could always be safe with port.
I would never have said that. The perfect dessert wine may always be port.
Okay. Maybe that's what you were saying.
Perfect after dinner. Perfect after dinner drink to me is going to be a big snifter of scotch, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
But when you're looking for after dinner, whether it's cheeses, whether it's chocolate, whether it's Well, fruit and port don't necessarily go well together unless they're dried. But no, port's always... I know what the question was.
What was the question?
The question was, what's the perfect gift? If you had to give a wine gift...
Okay, maybe
if you have
it.
To give a gift of wine, there's what's one thing you can never go wrong with.
Mm-hmm.
And ports and sherries are always great because whether people are drinkers or non-drinkers, it doesn't matter. If they don't want to drink at all, they can use the port in cooking. And if they are drinkers, everyone appreciates a bottle of port. And actually, I am sitting on several bottles of port. Just dawned on me that are sitting there and sitting there that I have been saving for a special occasion. So perhaps I ought to find a reason to have
now
a special occasion.
You know what to
occasion.
Do with them, yeah.
Now I know
give
what
them
to
Julie.
Do with them. I'll give them to Julie and let her work it through. No, I can't imagine doing an entire dinner of port. That would be a bit difficult. But leads to an interesting idea. Hey, for all of our chefs and all our restaurateurs out there, give me an idea. If you had to put a dinner together with nothing but port, give me a menu. 877-4-CRUSH-1. On that, I want to see an email. And you can email me directly at lauralawson@winecrush.com. Or for those of you who want to check out the website, winecrush.com has a little tab on it that says info. You can check it out there. But that would be fascinating.
That would be interesting.
As we go into the holidays and see what happens. So definitely a thought. Well, of course, we like to get emails from you as well. And right now, I do have an email. And this email, actually, it sounds a lot like the one Jason wrote, but I will go ahead and touch on it anyway. This is from Jessica, and Jessica writes from North Carolina. I'm going to travel the West Coast for a few weeks, lucky you, and I'm looking for really good maps that tell me where the wineries are and are actually done to scale. Are there any good resources for this? Jessica, actually, yes, there are, and they're not going to be the little maps you pick up in your hotel rooms out there. There is a book called California Wineries, and it is a massive, massive new paperback book. It's been out for about 6 months, but it's got this great format to it because you go through and it's alphabetical. Say I want to go to Ferrai Corano. Say I want to go to Sobrage. Say I want to go to Hartford Court. I will flip through. I will look for the Hartford Court page, and it will show me the label for Hartford Court. It will give me the address for Hartford Court. It will give me the phone number. It will give me the website. And then if you flip a little bit further, it actually will have a map that will show you exactly where you can find the winery. So that is a good tool for you. If nothing else, when you're in the wineries, look for the small little guide to Sonoma, guide to Napa. Those will at least give you addresses and general ideas. But Jessica, I hope you have a nice time in your several weeks from California. Just remember, livers take a long time to regenerate. We're going to take a small break right here, but when we return, we're going to wrap up this whole show and see what other fascinating things we have coming down the pipe.
Need a wine recommendation for a party? Want Laura to address something on the show? Email her at lauralawson@winecrush.com.
Term life insurance. It can be a powerful way to protect your assets and your family. You work hard to earn and save your money to build a nest egg for the future. Don't let it get wiped out because you didn't plan ahead. Take the time now and make a small investment in $500,000 or more in quality term life insurance. Call the Term Lifeline and let us shop the best companies to give you the lowest rates. We specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. Ask about some of our 10 and 20 year fixed rate plans with guaranteed rates. Call the Term Lifeline right now for your free insurance quote. 866-509-TERM. 866-509-TERM. You owe it to yourself to protect your family and your assets. Make term life insurance part of that plan. Call the Term Lifeline right now. 866-509-TERM. 866-509-TERM.
Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, Gold Garage and Pit Passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Don't let your car or truck turn into a clunker. Z-Max. Z-Max added to your oil and your gas tank can clean internal engine components and fuel systems, reduce engine wear, and give you better mileage. Z-Max is a pure micro lubricant that gives you a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine.
These are some big claims, but they've all been backed up by some of the most rigorous testing in the industry. Z-Max Micro Lubricant, available at your favorite auto parts retailer.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chomping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The Karate Glove chomps through anything. Just put it on and instantly chomp through wood. Hi-hi! Concrete.
Hi-yah!
Brick walls.
Hi-yah!
Trees.
Hi-yah!
Small cars. It can even chomp through these 8 guitars. It chomps things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Crush, I'm Laura Lawson, and Kent Bernhardt is obviously bored. He has reached into the depths of country music.
You said you liked Elvis Costello.
Elvis Costello. I don't disagree with that, but that's a little extreme. Anyway, speaking of extreme, I think that's the title of all of today's show. A special thank you goes out to Rick Harrison of History Channel's Pawn Stars for being on the show and talking about the Dom that was brought on the show and, of course, the interesting items he has seen. And, of course, it all stems back to the fact that we all find our value in wine one way or the other, whether it's to take it to get money out of a pawn shop, whether it's to enjoy the company we're with, whether it's to find great wineries and find good place to buy wine. We all put our money where our mouth is one way or the other. But that's important to remember as we get towards the end of the summer season, as we start looking ahead into the fall, that ultimately it's all about to change. And that's what today is about, thinking outside the box and thinking at wine for a different perspective. Because just like all of us has put up our white pants and we put away our straw hats and we pulled out our patent leather shoes again, it is that time to start contemplating the great wines of fall and how we're truly going to appreciate the holiday season and all the great things coming ahead. So I encourage all of our listeners, reach out to us, 877-4-CRUSH-1. Let us know how you're planning on adapting your drinking habits to the fall. And I promise you the next few shows we go through, we're going to adapt it, find some neat stuff, and see what's neat and exciting for the fall of 2010. Well, as always here at The Crush, we remind you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.